Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ball game. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
So the summer game's winding down, and oh my, Team USA, red, white, and blue, and Hoosier cream and crimson front and center as the medal count continues on the rise. And a proud Vice President, Director of Athletics at Indiana U, Fred Glass, on hand tonight as we go behind the scenes. Show number one of the new school year, brought to you in part by the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics at Indiana U. Hashtag raise the flag. Countdown for the season to begin for Kevin Wilson's footballers. Lots to cover tonight on BTS, including the Fred Glass Honor Roll, Department and Employee Spotlight, as we ready to lift off the school year with classes set to begin next Monday. Set to begin on Friday, our 67th year of high school football on the airwaves as the South Panthers welcome in Brownsburg. A tonight conversation with Hall of Fame head coach Bo Mariardi's two coordinators, defensive coordinator Gabe Johnson, offensive coordinator Anthony Lindsay, plus a couple of senior veterans, All-State linebacker Sam Helm and offensive tackle Isaiah Morris. Along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors, this is Sports Talk. This is Behind the Scenes. We're live tonight from Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith and, BTS with FG. Fred's alongside. Show number one of the new year, and, it only happens every 4 years, but I mentioned right at the top, you came in with a big smile on your face. How proud are you of what has been going on down in Rio de Janeiro, Fred? Welcome to the show and a new year for us.
Well, thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you and at Yogi's. And, it is fun because usually this time of year, you know, we're making the transition. It's kind of quiet. There's not a whole lot to talk about other than anticipating what's coming up. But, we're in the middle of this great Olympiad, and I would dare say it's the best represented Indiana University Olympiad in probably 40 years. So when we talk about resetting the new golden age of IU athletics, I think back to my time at IU in the late 70s, and I think that was kind of a golden age, and I really think we're entering into another one now.
Well, we are indeed, and seven medals and counting. That's the most since 1976, and I always used a word when I was growing up, funnest. Of all of the activities and all of the medals, what's been the funnest as you have appeared in and watched the coverage of the games?
Well, that's a tough one, Joe, because every one of these kids and every one of those stories are amazing. And you know, we went into the Olympics excited because we have 15 Olympians, which is the most that we've had in 36 years. And then I was shocked. I should have known this as AD. I didn't know this, that we had not had an IU swimmer represent the U.S. of A. Since 1976. And it just doesn't seem possible given our amazing tradition in swimming and diving. We've had some divers, but in swimming and diving. And then this year we went in with three. And, of course, they've produced four gold medals. So if you make me choose the funnest, I guess I would say to go from not having had one USA swimmer in 40 years to producing three who in turn produced four gold medals and six overall, I'd say that's my funnest part of the Olympics so far.
Another funnest gal to watch in the waters has been Lily King, and you mentioned 40 years. Jim Montgomery was the last one when he won three golds that year in Montreal, and here's Lily in the 100 breaststroke and the 400 medley relay, and the young lady is captivating, and she has shown her will. She has been on the big stage, so to speak, with some common sense approach to how things should be done, and certainly proud of her. Cody Miller, a gold, obviously, in that relay. Blake Peroni, a gold in the relay. Michael Hickson, he's going to maybe line up a podium visit tomorrow in the spring, in the 3-meter springboard. He took home the silver with his buddy Sam Dorman. Kennedy Goss representing Canada, but of course a junior to be at Indiana a bronze, and Cody winning the 100 breaststroke, kicking off things. But, you know, we've had so many others as well. Anze Tavkar from Slovenia competing along with Ori Velasquez. How about that? They gave the U.S. women all they could handle.
Absolutely.
Ali Kahalapala from Egypt, Marwan El Kamash, and we can go on. James Conner, the outstanding diver, Amy Kozad, and Jessica Parado, by the way, is in action off of the springboard later this week. Derek Druin, Canada, Kelsey Abe, and Olu Olumagukwu from Nigeria, and great representation of those kids representing their country. So, as you suggest, I don't know of another university that is as broad internationally and with home-based kids as dear old IU.
Well, I think that's true, and it's cool that we're representing so many different countries, especially with the great tradition of Herman B. Wells and Indiana's focus on internationalism, and it carries over to athletics. It's also cool, Joe, to know that if IU were a country right now, we'd be the 15th best medal generator in the Olympics, beating out, you know, Spain and, you know, other very significant nations. So very, very proud of our team. And you did great with those pronunciations, by the way. It sort of reminded me of Saturday Night Live and the George Bush pronunciations in the debate. So you had a certain flair for that, Joe, and I was very impressed.
Well, I don't know about Olu, but I'm going to start calling him Double O, but he's in the triple jump. Derek, of course, goals for the gold tonight, and Michael Hickson in the 3-meter springboard. So
how about Michael yesterday? I don't know how many of your listeners watched the Olympic diving yesterday, but it's outdoors. And it's windy as can be, and Michael was cutting through it like a knife through hot knife through butter.
Yeah.
While the Russian was getting blown around back onto the meter board. So, pretty neat to see our guys breaking through adversity. And this is probably a good time to mention our coaches that are down there. You know, Drew Johansson. It's his second tour as a head coach of USA Diving. First in his role as the IU head coach, and the way these divers are performing under adverse circumstances, I've got to believe the world, is including potential recruits, are looking favorably upon Drew. And then Ray Lewis, just a magnificent job as the assistant coach for USA Swimming, devised the strategy that Lily used to beat the Russian, what can you say when his kids are generating so many medals? But I think Ray being present in Rio was a major part of our kids doing so well.
Great experience for our coaches, great experience ongoing still. And I know when I talked to Lily right before she left, she's sticking around for the closing ceremonies as well, because, and that's the other thing too, you see, you know, after the feats have been made in the pool or wherever the sport might lie, it's the association of a life-changing time for these kids, Fred. A lot of them soon to be sophomores, soon to be juniors in the athletic year ahead, and what a moment. So they're enjoying the whole atmosphere of the countries joining together in this great event.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see that, because sometimes, you know, kids are off to something else. But I really think that the kids are really embracing the moment. They're enjoying it. I was talking to Ray today, and part of what the team did before they left USA to head down to Rio was Popovich spoke to the team down in San Antonio, because that was their taking off point. And it was very, very impactful, and talked about how they had to come together as a team and set things aside that divided them, and in very short order come together and do so with humor and commitment and as good teammates. Because you think with all these individual meets,
right,
that team part kind of goes away, but it does not. And Ray attributed a great deal of the success to USA Swimming to, you know, that great Hoosier Coach Popovich giving them some pointers before they headed out of the country.
Well, they took everything, right literally, and have gone off and have done it fantastically. Our kids, Indiana University, well represented, as I mentioned, at the top seven medals and counting, including 4 gold, a silver, and 2 bronze, and we're not through yet. We just got started on our first show of Behind the Scenes, brought to you tonight in part by the IU Department of Intercollegiate Athletics. And football, we will go when we come back. You're listening to Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk Behind the Scenes with Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, joining us. And as we feated and saluted our Olympians, we move over to football and things. Well, I tell you, it's been a little indoor-outdoor. Mellencamp's been well used today with all of the precipitation, but a lot of excitement in the air, Fred, as we are all excited. And from all I gather, talk a little about how sales have been going, and I know it's just around the corner, opening up at Florida International down in Miami on a Thursday night, but obviously a great home package ahead for Kevin Wilson's crew.
Yeah, I'm so excited, Joe. I ran into Coach Wilson in the hallway just before I came over here, and he's got a real confident gait, and I think feels really good about this team, and I'm excited about the guys. I've been out to practice a couple times, and enjoyed watching them. Of course, I don't know what the hell I'm looking for. You know, people ask me how they look, and I'm like, hell, I don't know. But they're big and they're fast, and I think that's good. We're excited about the season opener Thursday night. I think that gives us a little exposure, kind of break through some of the noise over the Labor Day weekend. Florida International's better than we want them to be. You know, they took us some late game heroics to beat them up here. They'll give us all we want down there, and then you know, we've lost to Ball State, unfortunately, three times in a row, so we owe them some payback when we come back up here and play them. So we start out with a couple really stout tests, get an early bye week, and then play a Wake Forest team that gave us everything we wanted out there. So in our three-game non-conference schedule, there's a strong opposition. And then, as you know, this is the first year we go to 9 conference games, which I think is great. It gives our fans more of what they want to see. But on the competitive side, it's more challenging for us. But we embrace that. I love the way Kevin's embraced playing in the Big Ten East, which I suggest to you is the strongest division in college football. But we get to play the big boys, and that's what Kevin recruits to. So in any event, I feel really good about the way the team's coming together, the way Kevin's building. And I really hope our fans come out and enjoy some exciting football. Like Kevin says, we're going to be fun to watch. Our offense will be, you know, what I think generally where it's been in the last several years, which has been unbelievable. And then Tom Allen's bringing some intensity and getting after it to our defense. So should be a lot of fun to watch. And our fans are responding. We've sold more tickets already than we sold all of last year. And I think our fans are responding to what Coach Wilson's building.
Hashtag raise the flag, and hopefully that big red flag will be flying in the corner of Memorial Stadium a number of times when the Hoosiers get ready for the Ball State Cardinals on September the 10th. You know, mentioning the start of the new year, and the students are here. They're getting here. The ones that will be coming in over the weekend. Classes start Monday, but we've got a number of teams that have already started their exhibition season. We mentioned the doggone rain. Quite not as bad, and we wish the very best to those people down in Louisiana who are really suffering. So a little bit of rain here and there, but I know they had to move, for instance, the soccer game up to the Westfield complex up there at, against Loyola, I guess, tonight, huh?
Yeah, we did. And so it was kind of a scramble on logistics today. But thankfully, we have those strong facilities up there, and we're hoping that maybe we'll get a few of our Indianapolis-based fans to turn out for the game tonight.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting. We talk a little about the soccer team. They're 15th ranked in the preseason poll, and a part of the Fred Glass honor roll on our first show. A couple of mainstays, Tanner Thompson and Grant Lillard, named earlier this week preseason All-America by College Soccer News. And, well, you know, Tanner has just been Tanner, and Lillard, he gets better the more he plays. And both have been playing as mainstays for Todd since they've been freshmen.
Yeah, I tend to work out at the same time that those guys do. And certainly no comparison in terms of the vigor of our workouts, but I get to see those guys, and they are some of the most fit athletes we have in the whole department, and they just get after it, and they've got that work ethic that it's the Yeagley work ethic, and that goes all the way back to Jerry and through Todd, and those guys, we just attract the kind of guys and develop guys that just flat out get after it. And I'm really looking forward to our men's soccer season.
We've got an event this Saturday. Don't forget Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan. The volleyball team hosted its annual Cream Crimson Day, Fred, out at UGym. Venue is on the endangered species
list.
You know, and I want to get to that in a second. But that's coming up Saturday. The door's going to open at 5, and you'll have a chance to pick up a volleyball poster, and the Team Cream versus Team Crimson match will start at 6. And I think they're going to have a good year this year.
Yeah, I'm excited. A lot of young talent on that team. I think Sherry's been building that the right way in a tough conference. But I like what they've got on the horizon too. We're limited to talk about it, but the kids in the pipeline, plus these young players we have, I think the future of Indiana volleyball is very bright.
Well, we want to welcome to Indiana University too a young lady that's going to take over for Indiana women's basketball, and that is Megan Nicole Cramper, who is coming in, and she sent me a note that season tickets are already on sale for the 2016-17 women's basketball campaign of Terry Moore. So we welcome her and look forward to meeting her, and I'm sure we will. She'll take care of women's golf and rowing as well. Megan Cramper is her name. So
yeah, great addition, and we're excited about that, and also pleased that they got the information out on our women's schedule. As you know, Joe, last year was in addition to a lot of other firsts for our women's basketball program, we set a number of attendance records, single season and single game records, plus, you know, Terry Moran being the first Big Ten Coach of the Year in women's basketball in 33 years and so forth and so on. But talk about a great young team. They'll be a lot of fun to watch. And I'd encourage your listeners to get ready to head out to Assembly Hall for some games.
Fred Glass joining us behind the scenes, our first show of the 2016-17 athletic year. Another thing that's been fun to watch has been the evolvement of the soon-to-be-named Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Fred, you got to be pleased with the progress every day. There's a new visual change from going down 17th Street.
Yeah, I'm thrilled, Joe, and just can't wait. I can't wait for our fans to see what we've got penned up on paper, and now it's becoming a reality. As you know, it's a very fan-centered renovation. Everything is oriented toward improving the fan experience, expanded bathrooms, better concession stands, better Jumbotron, replacing those nasty seats in there that God knows what was soaking into them the last 40 years. They'll be all nice. The grand new entryway facing the south, escalators. It's really going to be something that our fans will enjoy. And then importantly, the boring stuff, all the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, so that the building will be able to continue for another generation and preserve the best home court advantage of college basketball. I see where just in the last several days, a couple weeks, I think it was ESPN once again named Assembly Hall the toughest venue in which to play in the Big Ten. So I'm pleased we're preserving that tradition, and I think our fans will find the renovation worthy of Indiana basketball.
And a guy that always keeps us up with a mechanical standpoint, Chuck Crabb, will be rejoining Glass in the our own Glass, Mike Glasscott, this Friday on the Big Show Friday. So he keeps us and it keeps the fans and our listeners well abreast of the situation with traffic and what have you. We've had some new enhancements along the sidewalks and what have you, and in time we'll talk more about the master plan with what else is going to be going on throughout the fall. But it's going to be fun stuff, no question about that. How about closing it out with department in the spotlight and employee of the spotlight?
Yeah, I'd love to do that, Joe. So these guys often get overlooked, but I'm going to go right to our equipment operations folks. Talk about a group that works hard under often challenging circumstances. Marty Clark's our head guy there. And, you know, not only a great equipment guy, but he's kind of a historian of Indiana athletics and bleeds cream and crimson. He's terrific. Rusty Stillions is our main man over in Assembly Hall, great baseball fan. Mitch Gudmundson, director of football ops. Jay Sears, who he and I were on campus together. I think I ran into him at Motley's or something back in the day.
There's a name I haven't heard before.
Right.
Motley's.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was your hangout, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, occasionally.
One of them.
Carter Yuval Hoare, Mitch's sidekick, does a great job with football too. So you know, these guys do so much. 600 athletes dealing with all the laundry, changing out decals, handling our massive Adidas equipment deal, which is one of the best in the country. And I could name any one of these guys to be my employee in the spotlight, but I'm going to go with my man Mitch Gunmanson. The football operations guy does lots and lots and lots of work and rarely gets in the spotlight. And so I'd like to spotlight my man Mitch today, Joe.
Well, I tell you, and I remember back when we got ready to go to the bowl game in New York, and all of those guys you just mentioned were so very important. But Mitch worked tirelessly with that move to New York and getting everything, and he's very meticulous in what he does. That's a great pick there. So, well, I know you got a busy September. Looking forward to it. Glad you could hop in tonight. And we'll, see, I think, at the end of September. And we're going to have a special show. I'll kind of coordinate things and maybe bring you in when we bring in not all of the Olympians at once, but it's still going to be a great story the entire year spilling over to 2017. So maybe you can pop in and be part of that as well.
Absolutely, Joe. The way we're going, you're not going to be able to swing a cat around here without hitting a medalist from the Olympics.
Have a great start to the school year, Fred. We'll see you in September, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, as always.
And then when we come back, we'll talk South Panther football, preseason rank number 2, a tough one in Brownsburg on Friday night at Huff Memorial. We'll talk to the coordinators, have a couple of players, Isaiah Morris, also All-State linebacker Sam Helm joining us. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, as we continue along Sports Talk Live tonight as we kick off, as we mentioned, on 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL, News Talk 96.1, our 67th year of high school football. We've been doing this since 1949. No, I haven't done all the years, but I've done 47 of them, and look forward to talking to a couple of outstanding seniors that are going to be mainstays offensively and defensively. We mentioned earlier in the week, we have the coordinators with us. Offensive coordinator Anthony Lindsay handles the quarterbacks and receivers, the running backs and the quarterbacks, and also, well, he calls everything. And the man, the defensive coordinator that has been with Coach Mo a number of years, Gabe Johnson, joins us as well. And Gabe, we'll talk a little about defense and get to Anthony in a second. But we go back to last year, and it was an opportunistic defense, to say the least. An unbeaten regular season, back-to-back sectional championships, Conference Indiana. We'll throw a regional in there from a couple of years ago. How's things evolving defensively as we get ready to start for real on Friday night?
Well, Joe, thanks for having us. Coach Mo and myself, we kind of looked at, when we started putting the defensive in, we thought every year would be a progression, and last year we were able to do a lot of great things, and this is obviously a new year, and we got a lot of familiar faces back and a lot of new guys filling in some of the positions from our departing senior class. But I think the optimism is very high, and the expectation is still very high, if not higher, to perform well and to do well, prepare well, and do all those things. And right now, we haven't had a game yet, so it's hard to measure that, but all signs would point to this group being a good group.
I tell you, I got my handy dandy sheet. You like that? It's got a nice look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 seniors on the
Yep.
Talk a little about Derek Rodriguez Gonzalez, going to play over the nose. Now, he's only a junior, but talk about the interior front before we talk about the best linebacking core in the state.
Well, we got, Derek, one of those guys, and he missed some time last year, and we got him back, and we thought he could be a player for us. We just kept him healthy, and he's been pretty healthy so far, and he's doing a lot of great things there at the nose position. And then at the other end on the D-line, we have Quentin Porter, who we moved from outside backer to D-line. And our D-line the last couple of years has been a group that we've, guys that maybe haven't played at other positions, and we moved them to D-line, have had a lot of good success with those guys. So, he's a senior, and he's ready to play, and he wants to play, and he's, having an outstanding offseason here and had a great scrimmage. So we're expecting big things, obviously from him. And Josiah Crane is another guy, and Sam Lewis, who's a young kid, will be, you know, guys rotating at that other end position. And it's, you know, we like to play six if we can. And so we're always trying to develop D linemen and make sure that we, you know, we always have fresh guys in there. So finding those guys is still a process, and that's what we're still doing.
Gabe, let me ask you before we talk about your linebacking core in the secondary. How tough has it been, you know, teams anymore, it happens on the collegiate beat, we're seeing it more on the high school beat with the spread offenses, but the 3-4 defense seems to really, you know, be able to attack. But again, you have to have the personnel. It's really been a 10 strike for you guys.
Well, I think, you know, Joe, I think one of the most difficult things for coaches, especially in high school, because you know, it's not like college where you go out and find the guys that you want to fit. Right. You know, you take what comes out. And so getting guys in the right spot is a big part of what we do. And that's a process. And that process will continue throughout the year, you know. And so we think we have those guys in the right spot. And we'll continue to look at guys in other spots. And as needs arise, we'll make sure that we do that. But, you know, for us, the biggest thing is that we got to have 11 guys that can run, because offenses are doing, they're very dynamic now, and they can do a lot of different things with the ball, and they're attacking you from sideline to sideline. And if you don't have guys that can get sideline to sideline, then I think it makes it difficult.
I always, you do such a great job with your defensive stats, but last year, going into the regional championship game, you had 30 total takes. You were a plus 21. Take away and give away. You had 20 interceptions. And again, we use that word to be opportunistic, and Anthony will assess the offense in a bit. But when you got guys like Paycheck and Yeske ready to do some pretty good things, are you expecting that kind of a you have the personnel? I mean, we got Sam here, and he's like a double-figure point guard in basketball, except he does it in tackles. But talk a little about that concept.
Well, you know, we've been fortunate to have guys like Sam here, and you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that he's made our job pretty easy here the last 3 years, and so he gives us the leeway, because we, you know, him and guys like Tommy and some of the other, they're very smart players, and so they make the things that we want to do very easy, and so. You know, we've been able to kind of match a dynamic offense with being a dynamic defense by having those kind of guys that can get guys lined up. And, you know, I told Coach Mo a while ago, if we're plugging in a lot of new young guys, and it's a good year to be doing that, because we've got, you know, guys like Sam who are smart players and
right.
You know, regardless of the physical presence that they bring, but they do a great job of making sure that everyone's where they're supposed to be.
And I see Chase Shields and Tyler Schlegel are a couple of the juniors that are backups to Sam and Tommy Richardson. You're talking about Tommy. We'll stay right there, because I know he was in the Indiana Football Digest prime time, top 25, got his picture. You get a haircut from the time you got he had a lot of locks. Did he get a haircut for football? Or
it's still pretty long.
Is it still pretty long?
Yeah,
but the tandem together, I don't care what classification we're talking about here, and I've enjoyed watching Sam play since you plugged him into the starting lineup as a sophomore, if my memory serves me correct. Talk about those two in tandem and the destruction they caused to offenses.
Well, I remember Sam, you know, I always remember when Sam was a freshman and the freshman season had ended, and we brought him up, and, you know, usually when we bring a freshman up, we're just kind of hoping that he can help out on scout team or maybe a special team. And something had happened, Joe, and we stuck him in there at inside backer. I think we were still searching a little bit, maybe for some guys, and he had made two or three plays right in a row. And I remember that conversation and thinking, we could probably start him now, you know, and we were going into the sectional and didn't necessarily want to do that. And, you know, but knew that we were going to have a great future at least that position moving forward, and guys that could play. And I would absolutely argue with anyone that thinks they might have the best linebacking group in the state. I think we've got those guys, and I'll say that, all the way till the end of the year.
Well, I'm adding up, if my math's correct, and between Sam and Tommy, they had 278 total tackles last year. 278, and and you throw in what we were talking about, double figures with Sam, he almost averaged about 14 stops a game.
That's hard. Those are hard stats to replace. And I don't want to talk about those guys, you know, when they leave here someday. And then obviously their careers will come to an end at some point. But we will undoubtedly miss them when that does happen.
You know, I'm looking at a secondary, you know, Peterson, Barrow, obviously Hunter Worthen, some veterans that are no longer there, but you got some guys, Weddle, Graham, P. Ryan, and King. Bill King out for football along with Luke Jaeger. But talk about the secondary, how that's kind of evolving.
You know, I that was probably the biggest question coming into the offseason is who we were going to put back there to replace those guys. You have an all-star and Hunter Worthen who's gone, and two-year starters and Peterson and Barrow and Alex Fry, obviously. And so the question is, who's going to fill those spots? And, you know, we kind of got lucky there when Phillip decided to come out. I think he's going to do a great job. Chase Washington will be a great corner for us as well. But we're very athletic back there, probably more so than last year. What we don't have is experience. And you know, every time the ball goes in the air or those guys line up against a play, it's a valuable experience. And they play pretty smart. They're a pretty intelligent group. Terrell Preryne is probably the guy that has the most experience. But Al Graham is a kid that's a senior that's paid his dues and is ready to go and is done everything that we've asked up to this point.
Well, no question about it. The voice of Gabe Johnson, the veteran defensive coordinator of the South Panthers, in action against Brownsburg. They're a 6A team, preseason ranked 10th in the 6A poll. The Panthers come in as high as number 2. That's where I ranked them in the 5A poll. I vote in Associated Press. Let's bring on one of the key men, the linebacker, the All-State linebacker that we're talking about tonight, and that is Sam Helm. And Sam, first of all, congratulations on what has been an outstanding career. But do you remember when Coach was talking about, I remember we were doing the game and they plugged you in as a sophomore and the rest is history, so to speak. But how do you look at your senior season coming up?
I mean, thanks for having me on. I'm just excited. Really excited to have it. I'm ready to get out there and hopefully do even better than I did last season.
Well, I tell you, that's going to be hard to match, but I know if there's anybody that can do it. But talk a little about your involvement as an outstanding linebacker and how you've developed and continually. What's in the mix for you raising the bar individually?
I think it's just stepping up more to leadership role. Kind of when I came in as my sophomore, I was surrounded by, I think, close to 8 seniors on the team. So I was kind of just filling a role almost that had been a senior before and just moved through the team. So it was just kind of going along with the team. And then as I went my junior year, I just wanted to step it up even more as being a leader on the field and doing even more. And I obviously did that. And this year we're coming on and we have a lot of seniors coming back on the D, but we had a lot of young people coming up too. So it's just being even more of a leader and hopefully taking an even larger role in the defense.
I know Tommy Richardson was talking about that. And, you know, I know on that tough Friday down at Newburgh, that left a sour taste in everyone's mind. How much of a motivation back now? It happened in 97 when the team lost a heartbreaker in the state championship game. Have you guys used that loss to Castle to motivate as you look to 2016, Sam?
Yeah, I think it's really gotten a fire going with everyone in the defense. We've been working on pretty much everything that Castle's been doing since ready, thinking that we could see him again in the tournament and just really want to get back out there and beat him this time.
Well, Brownsburg, a formidable opponent to kick off things, 7 o'clock on Friday night as the purple and white get going. Talk to me about your technique and how you've been coached to develop into the linebacker you are, because to come away, and I think he had a monster game. I think he had over 20 tackles a couple of times last year, Sam. But talk about your technique and what's all evolved into, you know, trying to get that ball and ball carrier down to the turf.
I mean, we just have a really good coaching staff that's really been able to get me working on my form, get it perfect when I get it. And then, I don't know, a lot of people will say that I have a type of way that I can see the field. So that's obviously one of those things that most people say you can't quite teach. So generally when I see the field, it just go right to the ball carrier and usually works out for me.
Well, it has so far in 3 years, and looking forward to watching. He'll wear his familiar number 45, inside linebacker in Gabe Johnson's defense. Sam, how neat has it been to be alongside Tommy Richardson the last couple of years?
I mean, it's been really good. We're really good friends and we get along really well. And it's one of those things where when you have two dynamic players like we do, they can't run one way, or they come to one of us, they run the other way, they go to him. So it's hard for offenses to scheme against. There's nothing they can really do.
What are you hearing about Brownsburg? You got a great – this is going to be a nice test. I mean, this kid's probably one of the top quarterbacks not only in the state but the country.
Yeah, obviously. I think he's up there in top five in the country, and he looks really good, really, really good. But I don't know how much he has around him, so I'm hoping that we can just pick him apart and –
Well, we look forward to seeing you put him on his rump Friday night and many more during the season. Sam, thanks for stopping in. I know it's kind of been an exciting week with the season, especially your senior campaign. Stay healthy, and best of luck to you. And Allstate is waiting for you again here in 2016. Sam.
Yep. Thanks for having me on.
Sam Helm joining us, the inside linebacker. And we're going to talk a little offense, and we'll talk with Isaiah Morris here in just a second. But we'll talk with the offensive coordinator of the Panthers, Anthony Lindsay. And, Anthony, I got a nice little two deep here. And, you know, we talked about how dominant Gabe's defense was last year. 180 on the ground, 184 through the air or something to that effect. Very well balanced. How well balanced can this offense be this year, Anthony?
It could definitely be very balanced with, you know, Gavin running the offense. And Paycheck in the backfield, you know, that's a really good duo right there in the backfield. So we're looking for guys to make plays on the outside, you know, that we lost some seniors that were making plays for us out there. So we got to, you know, make sure we're doing everything right on the outside.
You know, I noticed Nick Mobley his senior year. How about Sean Asquith? Yes, Denise's brother, only a freshman, but, you know, he's going to be a backup. But you got some pieces there. Chris Bamba, Sam Conrad. Talk about the passing attack before we get to Gavin Yeske.
Yeah, Chris Bamba is stepping in for Rochelle Mann's spot, so he's taking over that duty. Luke Jagger's taking over for Jeb Drew's spot, so those guys are stepping right in. It's really natural for Luke. He's just really natural out there. Nick Mobley, like you said, senior, you know, he's going to step up for us. He's got some good hands, good knowledge of the game. And then, like you said, Sean Asquith, you know, he's going to be playing for us this year, and he'll do a really good job. And Sam Conrad will fill in for Bamba also.
You know, it's great to see a couple of, you know, JR, you didn't have to twist his arm to get Jager and Phil King out, did you? I mean, here's King. He's going to start at a corner, and here is Jager, and he's in the slot.
They wanted to come out. It was their idea. They, you know, they came out, and we're happy they're out there.
You know what? They're winners, and they're competitors.
And they're tough-nosed kids.
How about the interior front? We're going to talk to Isaiah Morris here in a second, and Isaiah slotted at guard, but, boy, I just hated to hear about Sam Knight again. You already ran into problems last spring with Garrett Hickman, and I know – Isaiah will embellish that, but talk about your interior front and how things are going to, keep Gavin Yeske clean.
Yeah, we're trying to find, you know, that those guards. We're moving Isaiah out to tackle.
That's where I got him, right side?
Yeah. And, you know, we're trying to find a good mix of guys and, you know, Gage Rowland on the outside at tackle, Justin Johnson at center. You know, and then you got Drake at tight end. You know, so there's a lot of guys that have played.
You got a couple of guys that, and you know, we're going to see Jyrie McCoy again, and he can do a lot of different things. But let's talk about Gavin Yeske. Obviously, a memorable sophomore year. Where's he raised the bar? And you and I talk many times post game wise since you coach him. What are you seeing out of him here in preseason, his junior campaign?
Yeah, he's becoming a little more of a leader. You know. Put guys in the right spot, you know, finding where the blitz is coming, relaying the line calls. You know, he's just becoming more of a vocal leader at the line of scrimmage.
You know, last year his percentage was just incredible. I think going into the Castle game, he was something like, it was uncanny what he could do from a percentage standpoint. A very smart, Gabe was talking about it, Sam Helm was talking about that court field awareness in football. He's got it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or he gets it.
Yes, he gets it. He's very smart. He's smart in the classroom. He's smart on the football field. Yeah, as a quarterback, you have to have vision. And you got to see things pre-snap that are going to happen. You got to obviously study the film and know where the defense is going to go, and you know where the open holes are going to be.
Well, that the voice of Anthony Lindsay, the offensive coordinator under Mo Moriarty, and Gabe has centerpieces, we call them, in his linebackers, in Sam and Tommy. You got a pretty good guy that got his feet wet last year, a durable young man, Christian Paycheck. We'll ask the same question. Where's he going his junior year with your running attack?
He's definitely running downhill a lot more this year. So that's what we are constantly preaching to him is, you know, shoulders square, running north and south. And he's really starting to pick up how our line blocking scheme is and finding the holes. And with him also, we got Jari, who's going to move in at running back also.
Okay.
So it's going to be a nice 1-2 punch.
Well, as you were mentioning, Gage Rowland, a senior, Tyler Arnold. We're going to talk here in a second with Isaiah Morris. Justin Johnson is another vet. But, you know, even your tight end, Drake Smith, is a senior. So, like Sam was saying, this is a good senior class, Anthony.
It's definitely a great senior class. You know, with those injuries, you know, there's other guys. I mean, you're constantly going to have somebody that's getting nicked up, bruised, and banged. So somebody else has got to step up. So that's what's happening right now.
Well, we're going to talk with a guy that's going to wear jersey 58 playing right side tackle, Isaiah Morris. Did your pop tell you he and I are good friends? Did your dad tell you that you and I are good friends?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah? Well, I love to watch you play football. And talk about your technique and how excited are you about your senior season?
I'm really excited for my senior season. I feel like we're going to have a good one. And I feel like we're up for a challenge after we lost tonight. And I feel like that we have a lot of work to go through to make sure we fill that hole that we lost.
You know, we were talking, Isaiah, with Sam. You were listening in about that sour taste that was left out in Newburgh on that Friday night. Talk about the motivational factor as the O-line is concerned, keeping what you have as Gavin Yeske and Paycheck and crew to try to keep them clean and get them going. How much motivation did you use to going into the preseason?
A lot of motivation. I encouraged my teammates that were slacking, that were lower or underclassmen, and we had a lot of work. We went hard every day. They kept pushing us. And if they ever saw slack in us, they would just say, "What do you think Castle's doing right now?" And that would just motivate us more to get through that last rep or, you know, get through whatever we're doing.
Well, you got a lot of classmates up there in the interior front. Talk about the guys I was just mentioning, Roland Arnold, Johnson, Drake Smith. They're all seniors, all classmates.
Yeah, they're really good football players. They get it. They're smart. They're athletic in a way to help out our offense, and I feel like we're going to do really good.
Go ahead.
Okay. And I feel like that since we're all seniors and we all grew up together and played football for a while, we have that communication and the connection to help us with any type of defense or fix anything.
You know, I know Coach Mo likes to work with the offensive line, but where have you gotten better? And talk about your expectations individually, your technique, run blocking for Paycheck, pass blocking for Gavin Yeske, Isaiah.
I definitely feel like Coach Mo's more, he's more of like worrying about us getting off the ball as being offensive linemen and having the mental smartness to get to where we need to get to our targets and stuff. But every day we study film, and they'll know when we do not look at film or anything, or not get on huddle. So every night we get on huddle, we look at the film, and if we see something we didn't do wrong, like next practice we fix it automatically. And they'll tell us before. We'll get a text saying on play 45, you didn't crossover on your second step, and then we got to fix it by tomorrow.
Well, looking forward to you opening the holes and keeping Gavin upright, and the best of luck to you in your senior season, Isaiah. Stay healthy. We've already had problems at that tackle spot, and give my best to Sam and and also to Garrett, a couple of untimely injuries. But stay healthy, my friend. Looking forward to seeing you play Friday night.
All right. Thank you.
Isaiah Morris joining us, the outstanding offensive tackle. And as Anthony Lindsay was mentioning, guys, we just got about a minute, but let's go defensive keys, Gabe, against Brownsburg. We talk about Hunter Johnson. Obviously, he's high quality. Talk a little about Brownsburg's offense and how you're going to shut him off and Johnson on Friday night.
Well, we definitely have to take care of him, Joe. He's, you know, it all kind of starts with him. And what most people maybe don't realize or think about is he's a very good runner as well. We got to be in the right spots, I think, in our coverage. You know, we can't afford to blow a coverage because he's seasoned enough that he'll find it. You know, we got to make sure we contain him, not let him out of the pocket, and get to him quick. So, you know, if we can create some confusion in what we're doing, I think that helps. But, you know, I tell our defense all the time, and I mean this, and every week it'll never change, we have to stop the run first. And he's a big part of that. So that becomes number one on our to-do list.
Anthony Lindsay, I see seven senior starters defensively, and they have a new coach, John Hart. He's no neophyte. I mean, he's rebuilt a program over in Illinois, big-time school, did a great job, was at Warren Central, Evansville, I believe, Rex Mundy or Modern Day, one of those Evansville schools. What about going against this defense? What are the keys offensively?
Well, it's all going to start up front. We'll see how our line does. You know, we got to get a push, like Isaiah said, running off the ball. They got some big defensive linemen. So, you know, we get our run game going, then we get our play action and all and everything off of that.
Well, guys, thanks for dropping in. Looking forward. It'll be our kickoff game, 6:30 Chalk Talk with Coach Mo. Isaiah Morris, Sam Helm joining us tonight, Anthony Lindsay, Gabe Johnson, and go purple and white. We'll see you Friday night, guys. Thanks for stopping
by. Thanks, Joe.
And we'll close out things. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, closing out things, that's going to about do it for tonight. Our thanks to the Panthers for dropping in. Best of luck. Again, Chalk Talk 6:30 on Friday night as Brownsburg will take on the Panthers. North plays at 5A Columbus East and Edgewood at Mitchell. In the zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls at 6. Tonight in Rio, don't forget, we still got some gold medals out there. Derek Gruen, Michael Hickson, Jessica Ferrato a little bit later in the week. Hey, congrats out to our Yogi's Employee of the Week, Kelsey Malone. Doing a bang-up job for Ron Ryder and all the management and her staff here at Yogi's Grill and Bar. Our thanks to Will Boatman as well as we roll up on the top of the hour. IHSA Commissioner Bobby Cox and Edgewood Football, Jerry Bland, next Tuesday night on Sports Talk. You've been listening to the program on News Talk 96.1, AM 1370, WTCL. See you next Tuesday night from Yogi's. Good night, everybody.